Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carling, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. One of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases, and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. Please call instead of email, folks. I am getting overwhelmed with emails, but the good news is I'm soon going to be having somebody to help me get to them in a more timely fashion. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. I thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, and what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting their website, AmericansBulletin.com, or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year. It's a First Amendment forum for free-thinking people. And a reminder that I'm also on republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. And our subject today is going to be What's Ailing America? Judicial Tyranny. With my special guest, and I actually found an attorney who is to the legal profession what I am to the medical profession. somebody who is coming out against the corruption in the courts and has put his life on the line and has suffered quite interesting consequences, as does happen when you go up against the beast. I am very honored to have you on the show again, Roger Widener. Are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Dr. Okay. Curley, for having me on again. It's what you say is so true and so critical. And the time, I tell people, is now. I'm as knowledgeable, Dr. Curley, as can be about our system of government, what it was set up. I'm a historian. The whole thrust of this in this nation was to create a class of single citizens, so that no royalty, no dukes counts, all of this. A single class of citizens, all
people
equal before the law.
Yes.
And before
we get into what we're going to discuss tonight, which is how people can get themselves out of this enslavement by the courts and the theft of their property and their children and their animals and anything that the minions want, could you please give a background of yourself? Because you were the state many years ago, correct?
Yes. I've been either studying or practicing law for over 45 years. 35 years ago, I was in the district attorney's office. I was the director of the consumer fraud department in the district attorney's office, so that if some government agency in that county wanted to bring action against you or someone else, they would come in and see me to institute that the criminal prosecution of you for violating some rule. So I have that, and that's the kind of background that I started with. I had 35 years ago, doctor, but I didn't really get my education until 20 years ago. That started my graduate degree in the
in the corruption aspect. Because I'm sure when you were a prosecutor, you actually went after the bad guys, and now
everything has been twisted
that they actually protect the bad guys.
Well, and I think I was squeezed out early out of that DA's office because I was doing exactly that. If some business was defrauding a client or a car dealer, I would go after them. But the car dealers were Harl Haas was the district attorney who I was helping get elected, and we got him elected. But some of his supporters were car dealers, and so they would. I was getting a roar there. I didn't realize how politicized it was. I came into the practice of law as a Portland City fireman. I'd been in the 101st Airborne Division. I was in the Honor Guard Company at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that people that destroy this genius of this country, which is the idea of the equality of the citizenry. And people don't get that. I said, people, the only way that you can enforce that is in a courtroom. If you have no remedy, you have no rights. And this is what has been so hard for me to get through people's heads, is that I said, people, none of you have any rights at all. Because what I've seen over and over and over continuously, no matter how outrageous it is, for simply trying to speak in the courtroom about these treacherous, thieving bureaucrats and attorneys, some judges, all licensed, Dr. Curley, or employed by the corporate state of Oregon. It's the corporate state of Oregon that is bringing this action, that is carrying out all of this regulation of the people. And people think that, oh, why could you do what you... I said, listen to me, people, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. We have a single class of citizens. Those that are working are divided into two groups, public employees and private employees. And if that public employee is elected or appointed to public office before assuming the duties of the office, and that's what they're doing, so, or being paid for performing the duties of those offices, they must take, and if a magistrate, sign and file their oath of office with the Secretary of State wherever they're located, swearing to God Almighty, and that they will see that you, the citizens' rights, are observed when you go into a public courtroom. Now, that's what they have sworn to do, and what the Constitution says that they must do. But what people have, what has happened, Dr. Curley, is the attorneys have been able to completely take over the legal system. They were never intended to be doing that. They were counselors at law. But the idea was that you, at the time, when we form this new country, there's nowhere that says you have to have an attorney. You can have counsel of your choice. But what has happened is all the bar associations have been completely corrupted, so that none of the constitutional law is allowed into the system. And that's what people don't get. One of the courses that I took, and I had some of the best instructors in the world. Judge Harlow Lennon was an instructor of mine. Thomas Tongue. I had the highest regard for these men when I went through law school 40 some odd years ago. But one of them telling me, Harlow Lennon, he passed away recently, that he saw this corruption coming into the system about 30 years ago now, and he said he couldn't wait to get out of it. I was so shocked that they would tolerate that reality, even drawing salary and allowing this corruption to go on in the court system.
It's called
because it's so...
selling your soul for cash. That's what it's called.
Yes.
And that's what they have done. And I just want to also state that they've done the same thing with the bar associations that they've done with the medical boards. They are protecting the bad people, and they are going after the good people.
Yes.
And that's what these associations are now being used for, is to stop people like you who want to do the right thing for your clients. Go ahead.
But this is what people have to get in their head, and don't take any I don't want people to be saying what about this or what about that. People, remember this: we have a single class of citizens. You as a citizen have an absolute right to file a complaint with the clerk of the court. You don't file it with the judge. You file it with the clerk of the court. That is a separate office. And no attorney is needed, and then you have an absolute right, without an attorney, to file a motion for summary judgment on that complaint. By rule, you can do this, and you add an affidavit that details all of their criminality, and you give them that that motion and affidavit before you go to court. Now, by rule, they must deny that, or it's deemed admitted. So when you go in, then you set it down for hearing. And when you walk into the courtroom with no attorney, all you have is a group of 50 or 60 or 70 people with you that you've discussed this with out in the hallway, what I'm telling you. And then when you get into that courtroom, the first words out of your mouth are, "I'm here by special appearance until informed by the court that I am proceeding in a court of constitutional due process. An adversary system, plaintiff, defendant, neutral judge." Now, people, I'll say that again, because this is what you must say. Unless you say that, you are conceding the jurisdiction of your case to the court. You're conceding it if you do not appear by special appearance. And that is what is so critical about this. But you have to have the crowd of people to intimidate the court personnel, because it's become a military. I said, people, when I go into the courtroom, it's a military operation. Should not be. What they're paid to do is to let is to see that you get a fair hearing. But out in Clackamas County here, 12-13 years ago, they came in with 6 armed deputies, locked the door. Captain Sherwood Stillman locked the door, shuttered the windows, to arrest me in the front of a group of people in this hostile formation as you could possibly have. This was the sheriff's deputies. And when I looked around, everyone's eyes were big and round, and I called out, "Mother," my 85-year-old mother, thank God for her, shot out of the jury box up to the judge. "What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this?" Taking him on and intimidating the hell out of him. And when she did that, it broke the attack of the guards. And I said, "I'm not leaving until I see a warrant for my arrest." And the guard said, "I'll go get one." Now, I have been arrested repeatedly in these courtrooms, not with that sense of violence, but violently.
Yes.
And I said, people, when that is going on, you don't own anything.
No.
Because you have no ability to, you have no remedy for your injury. That's what the courtroom is, people. So it's a public courtroom. The attorneys have taken it over, but the rights that you have as a citizen, every citizen has. You go down and ask the clerk, "Clerk, do I have the right to file, if you're in doubt about what I'm saying, do I have a right to file a complaint with you in this county for injuries I've received without the aid of an attorney?" She will say yes. And then you say, "Do I have a right to file a complaint, a motion for summary judgment on this without an attorney? And she will say yes, because you're filing it with the clerk of the court. The judge is just coming in there to referee the dispute. And this is what has been so hard for me to get through people's heads, because all they've seen up in those benches are these roaring monsters. Guards, arrest him. Oh, these are my courts, I hear him say out here. Incredible, this judges. Everyone in the courthouse knows that Widener's nuts, says Judge Bill Keyes, and I see him, who I was in the DA's office with, and then I see him walking on out the hall, and I said, Keyes, come here, and he runs onto the elevator. The judge, like a child. And I'm holding the doors open. Keep her. I want you to talk to these people. And he says nothing. Now, these are the judges doing this. I said, people, when you have that going on in your court system, police coming in, I've had the police come into my house. I've been arrested twice in the driveway of my home. In one case, my mother was threatened. Unbelievable. A woman and her little beautiful little girl who was staying here helping take care of my mother, they were maced in my shower. By Portland police officers. So you have these public employees. I was a public employee. I was a Portland City Fireman. I took an oath then. When I went in the military, I took an oath. When I went in the district attorney's office, I took an oath. As all of those people who are controlling our lives have taken oaths. But what we have lost in this country is a moral middle class who will not tolerate it. The class that I came from, my mother would simply, she has abject contempt for these crooked attorneys and judges and politicians, and she says it to it right to their face. There's a few others that are now doing it. My mother confronted, when I was tried for, filed a complaint against some public officials, and at the hearing, former Chief Judge Edwin Peterson was hearing the case. Now, he had been the chief judge through my first disbarment hearing, when I asked, I made a motion for what they call an in-camera hearing, that's to go in and tell the judges that my prosecution was political, that there was no substance to it. And I knew two of the judges on the Supreme Court, George Van Humisen and Richard Yunus, and I wanted to tell them it was politically based. And I got a note from this Ed Peterson, who is a partner of the attorney that's involved in stealing this $25 million stake. This is the evil and venality of the legal profession out here in Oregon. And so when I went in,
it's not just
so when I went into the to the judge. When I came in a second, here he was sitting there as a judge, and there was a district attorney there, and I pointed to him. I said, I've named you, Judge Peterson, and aiding and abetting in this. And his eyes kind of dilated, and he said, Mr. Widener, he says, I'm going to let you make your record and go in the back room, but first I'm going to let these other people speak. And when he got through, he said he was closing the courtroom. I said, you are not closing the courtroom. People do not leave this courtroom. And when I said that, Peterson and the three other attorneys, DA, got up and they ran out of the courtroom like little children. And the guard and the supporters said, look, the crooks, look at them running out of the courtroom. And then the guard came in. Now he was being nice. Previously, I'd been violently arrested in Lee Johnson's courtroom. Please, Roger, please leave. I said, I'm not going to leave Megalini's. I'm going to make a record. He said, well, we'll have to arrest you. My mother, everyone else sitting there froze, and my mother standing right by my side said, are you going to arrest me too? In a challenging, taking them on attitude. And he reared back from her and said, no, I'm not. You. And when they arrested me, she says, where is he? And he pointed out the door, and my mother, Dr. Curley, chased the former chief judge of the Oregon Supreme Court out the back of the Multnomah Courthouse. Now, that should have been headlines in the Oregonian and in the media around the world, that kind of thing is going on. How can that be that you can have something of that magnitude and not a peep in the papers? Where when I was arrested previously, the ex-attorney arrested for arguing with the judge. This is the only coverage in the local media of something of this magnitude.
Well, we know the answer. Wait, please let me talk to you. We know the answer to that because the media is the fourth branch of government, and they are complicit in all this, covering all this up. That's why alternative media is so important. But I want to say I'm going to speak to Roger off the show. I think it's very important that he put some kind of a how-to book together, what he would do if he were you type thing to help people with. But I want you to also explain. Please answer this question. Say they get the summary judgment after they make their special appearance and they put on the record all the corruption and fraud. Then what happens?
Okay.
Do they have to return your children?
Listen to me. Remember. Everything is the record. The judge is a party only if you allow him to be a party.
Yes.
So you do not allow him to be a party by saying you're there by special appearance. And all that you're saying when you do that in these special appearances, because everything is set forth in the affidavits that you have given to the other side before you go to court, a couple of weeks before you go to court, and they must by rule deny it, or they are deemed to admit what you're saying in the complaint and the affidavit. And that's what they cannot do. And so when you're not asking the judge for anything, the judge is just a potted plant in that courtroom. You are coming in, I'm here by special appearance. I've told judges before, when I was an active trial attorney, I would say, well, I'm here by special appearance, judge. And he'd say, well, go ahead, make your record. And you'd make your record. And I've had judges tell me, oh, I don't want to hear that. Go ahead and make your record. I'm going to go in the back room. Because it is the record that is the critical factor, not the judge. They can bring in judges from anywhere, pro tem judges, pop them up there on a bench, put a black robe on them, and people are trained just like animals to just react to an image without clicking in their thinking part of their brain. If you caught them in your living room, burglarizing your house in black robes, what would you do? Would you say, oh, yes, Your Honor? No. You would say you're a burglar. You're committing a criminal act. But I've got a black robe. I'm a judge. I'd say, I know, but it's getting that, that's the adult reality. And if they don't understand that, if you do not understand that basic concept, people, you are doomed to live as simply numbered human commercial commodity.
Okay, so please, tell me, so what happens when you get the summary judgment, they can't refute it, what happens then? Do they give you your children back? Do they give you your $25 million estate back? What do they do?
No. What it is not like children believe. Okay, I understand. Now then what happens? It is not that dynamic. The dynamic is that the pressure before, when I started first trying to go into these courtrooms, Dr. Curley, I was being choked to the ground, attacked, simply trying to get into the courtroom. And people don't get it. I said, people, remember, it's your absolute moral, sacred duty of every member of every generation to pass on to their posterity a clean environment, clean, limited, constitutional government, and no debt. Now, you cannot do that watching television, eating bonbons, going on the golf course and on your cruises. You cannot do it. You will leave your children what you're leaving them now is a totally, completely a corrupted environment, a police state, and a mountain of debt because of your inattention. And your inattention is to the public officials running public business. This is what every single citizen has an absolute moral duty to maintain as their number one priority until we are out of this malaise that we're in. You cannot be turning your head away and going, well, this evil is spreading, that has spread across the land and then is doing what it's doing to innocent people everywhere. Unbelievable.
I totally agree with you. However, I just want the listeners to understand that doing the special appearance and putting these facts on the record doesn't mean that you're going to get your children back or your property back or whatever.
Don't say that. I said, once you do that, once you put it on a record and you have it all documented, then you file a motion to compel. If the judge won't sign the order, you prepare the order and you appear at ex parte or come into his courtroom with a large group of people. And you have the media there if necessary. But this is why it takes collective activity. You cannot just do this by yourself. And so you come in with that and then on the record, I'm here at ex parte time on the record with an order for the judge's signature that the facts are undisputed in this case. And so you're confronting him then directly, or she directly, about not signing the order that confirms the record. The record, when you say on the record that you filed all this, and it is in the file. The complaint's in the file, the affidavit, it reads like a novel. It details in with particularity all of the criminal conduct of the other side that is doing what they're doing to you. And the key though is to, when you come into that courtroom, I catch them peeking around the corners. Out here when I named the governor, I named 11 judges, 28 state defendants out in Clackamas County, the same place where they'd come in with these armed guards. Now the guards were saying, Roger, I'm here to see that you get a fair hearing. And I got on the stand. Now the judge was very accommodating. And for an hour and a half, and the 15 attorneys representing the 28 defendants were hiding in the jury room before the hearing and came in looking around because I had 65 people, including Jesse Lott, Trent Lott's cousin, and the DA out there in the courtroom. Now, it's exhausting to be able to fill up a courtroom like that. But I got on the stand, and for an hour and a half, I talked just like I'm talking now about the criminal conduct of their thieving clients. And when I got through, I said, not one of these attorneys will question the truthfulness of a single statement I'm making about the criminal conduct of their thieving clients. I said, do you have any questions? No questions, doctor. No questions. Now, the people there should have been on their feet saying, what do you mean, no questions? What do you mean, these public employees that have been charged with stealing and stealing people's children and their property and their land, and you have no questions about this? It's that. It's the moral outrage that I find is so lacking from the public. Alexis de Tocqueville said in 1815, when he came to this country from France, America is great because America is good. It was a moral country.
Yeah.
But when it ceases to be moral, it will good. It will cease to be great. That's where we are right now. What is going on with turning our children? I mean, what is the fastest growing industry in the state of Oregon? It's the prison industry, followed only by the gambling industry and the drug industry and the drug rehabilitation programs for all the drug addicts. And when you have gambling and you have prostitution, you have all of the evil, all of it. Those are the growth industries here in Oregon. Unbelievable.
Yes. It's all over the
country.
And
these judges...
First of all, please let me speak, Roger. I need to banter with you. Okay, first of all, the reason that people are becoming drug addicts is because they're looking for a Novocaine for the soul.
Yes.
Because
they're
looking and they're seeing what's going on around them, and people feel helpless. That's why your information is so powerful. But I just want to get you to talk about... I know what has happened with what you've done. Unfortunately, there's only one you. And where you are, the courts have started to turn around because they can't take the heat and they are actually doing the right thing in some cases. But what about every place else? Do they give you your children back. Just because you make a record of the corruption and fraud, they're not going to say, okay, we admit it, we did the wrong thing, and hand your children back, are they?
Listen to me, yes. But when you come in... Now, there is some black grandmothers that are on the warpath because what they're doing out here in Oregon, they're intentionally breaking up the families. And so the little ones, I said, I was raised part-time by my grandmother. It was good for me. And the grandmothers belong with their children, but they're not giving them to the grandparents on all sorts of excuses. And so you have this whole industry out here harvesting the children because they get money every time they take one of them, but they get nothing if it goes back to the parent, the state agencies that are doing this. And all of that runs through the court system. And this is what is hard for me as the government official to get through lay people's heads about what that government, what the function of the government is. The function, the sworn duty of the government is to protect the rights of the citizens when the government is performing their official duties. Yeah. That's what they are required to. They've sworn to protect the rights of the citizens when they interact with the citizens performing some government function.
I don't think that's a problem that people don't know that. People do know that. That's what they believe. And that's why when they go into court on any of these situations, they're devastated because they see the corruption and fraud. So that's what I want to know is what is the remedy? After you get the summary judgment, then what do you do to get your job back, your property, whatever?
It's a reality. It is having, I've been so fortunate to meet up with some powerful women out here, Pamela Gaston, who I met 10 years ago, and they'd taken Will's daughter, and she was just devastated, and I met her at a public rally, and I asked, and she wanted to meet and talk, and so I did, and I said, can you help? And I said, only if you will fight. Only if you will fight, because I've been helping other people, but they want to come and they want to tell me something like a child. Well, they took my children and they did this and they did that. Oh, but please, please get them back. I said, no, I can't do that. I said, you, all of us, they've taken all of our children. And you cannot come to me, an individual, and solve your problems. We collectively have to come together, like the Greeks, where an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us, even though we don't agree politically, particularly about different things, or personalities may clash, whatever. But we are all focused on this one absolute, unequivocal principle. And that's before any public official takes something from a citizen in this state or this country, that citizen must be given a fair hearing, due process of law. That is not negotiable. That is bedrock. And you, to force that system to do that, it's enormous. I've been the point man on this, but I said, I certainly can't do this by myself. Thank God for my mother. I said, if I had five more like my mother, I would have had this cleaned up years ago. Because she will take, or like Pamela Gaston, she would go into that courthouse and just like a lioness, down the hall she would go. She reminded me of that when I saw where they let out the Brahma bulls and the guys along the way jump up and get out of the way. Well, that's how the guards and the court personnel were in Marion County when Pamela Gaston would come into that courtroom. She was a sight to behold. And just openly confronting him with abject contempt. These crooked, thieving, often drunken attorney judges sitting there doing all of this kind of thing to the people. And people being frozen in fear. Oh, my God. I said, people, these courtrooms are yours. These courtrooms are yours. We said, oh, I can't wait to get out of there. You have a moral, absolute moral duty to be in that courtroom when innocence is being destroyed. Not running out and hitting a golf ball or going on a cruise or having a martini or entertaining yourself, going to some movie. I said, no, you have a moral duty, absolute moral duty to be right there with that person who is, or your neighbor, whoever it is, that's being abused. Because if you don't, even if you don't like them, you're going to be next. And then who's going to be there?
Consent. And silence is consent. I totally agree with you. Okay, so what does a person do when they first get that notice of whatever, a demand for them to go to court for whatever to be stolen? What do they do in that case?
Because this is what you remember, people. Everything comes before the court on motion. You file a complaint and then you move for this or you move for that. You're always moving to court. So you have to be the moving party. So if you're sued by the state for they want to take something from you, you file a motion to dismiss whatever it is that they are filing against you. That is key. So you're the moving party and you give a supporting affidavit that details why it should be dismissed. And then when you go into the courtroom, you state. But this is what requires a crowd, because if you're just there by one or two, early on when I was, even with crowds, my arm was being twisted up behind my back. I was being violently attacked in these courtrooms, people watching this. But I was doing what I and you and every other citizen has an absolute right to do, and we have an absolute duty to see that everyone else has a right to do it. And that's to make that record. That's what makes us equal in this country, Dr. Curley, is the equality of the citizenry before the law. We're not all equal. Some are rich, poor, all the rest of it. But we are all equal before the law. That is a cornerstone principle in this country. That is what this country was, the founding fathers, the cornerstone principle that Washington and Jefferson and Madison were all trying to achieve was that basic principle. It is written in stone on our Justice Center. But when you watch what's going on inside the Justice Center, it's nothing but slaughter. It's nothing doing that.
Okay, so the people have to put in a motion for dismissal, and I agree with you that there has to be a crowd there, not only for protection from the minions, because they're a little less likely to send you off to the psych ward or beat you up or whatever if there's a crowd there to witness it, but also for all of them to bring tablets and all take notes, because the judges also change the record. I've had many instances where the transcript is just altered. I even have one transcript where the judge says that he's allowed to alter the transcript in the interest of justice, which is totally insane.
I know it.
I actually have a transcript that says it. Yes.
But
let me just ask you a question. We run out of time so fast. Next week on my show, I'm going to have a physician by the name of Victoria Huffnagel, who is a gynecological surgeon. She's developed a way to save women's uteruses so that they don't all have to have hysterectomies. And so the medical mafia has gone after her. And in 2 weeks, she has an arraignment, and I know she's listening right now, and they want to put her in jail. They're charging her with a misdemeanor of practicing medicine without a license because they took away her license, and another sham proceeding very similar to mine. So what does she do when she goes in for an arraignment? Can she say that she's there by special appearance?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
That is an absolute. Anytime anyone goes in, they must put that on the record. You say the first words out of your mouth, for the record. That's the first words out of your mouth when you appear in one of these proceedings like this. Then you file, she should file a motion, so that when she's appearing, but then she files a motion, if it's totally bogus, she files a motion to dismiss the complaint, and she files a supporting affidavit detailing all of that is going on. Now, what she should also be doing, she should be going after them because of what they're doing to her. Now, if you look at Title 42, 1983, Federal Civil Rights Action, all of this is criminal behavior that they're engaged in. Also, if you look at Title 13, 473, it's the conspiracy against the rights of a citizen. So these are all federal crimes that these agents are engaged in. But the problem is, for the average person, even though it's a crime, you have no remedy. You can see it on the books, but you have no way of achieving what the law was set up to provide for you. And that's where people... And that's where people's eyes cross, because they don't get it.
And not only that, they don't realize, but that by actually retaining an attorney, they're basically making sure they're never going to get justice, because first of all, they're admitting they're incompetent in the courtroom just by hiring an attorney. And second of all, to find an attorney who's actually going to go up in your behalf and represent you, especially when you're like a doctor like we are that have gone up against the system, something like that, they will never do it. I know that. So that's why it's so important for people to do this themselves and have their witnesses there to witness it. And I totally agree with you that if we can get this going all over this country, this is going to stop this tyrannical situation, and we have to do it.
It's simple.
This is, the time is now.
And I said, if I could burn in people's brains the image of my mother, I mean, hear this, now she's 98 years old. She was 85 at the time that she took on that judge out in Clackamas County. But she took over the courtroom, Dr. Carley. She was, what's the meaning of this? And he was sitting there, in eyes big and round, in a totally defensive posture, as were the other guards. They were totally intimidated by my mother. Unbelievable. I call her, jokingly, Frances Blowtorch Widener, because she takes them on. And these other women, Pamela Gaston, takes them on when in the courtroom, calls them, confronts them openly, having meetings, going to the Senate hearings and openly talking about the corruption and telling the guards to arrest this judge or arrest that person. They're totally unaccustomed to being talked to by the people. I said, people, a society of sheep begets a government of wolves. And I said, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. And what I've been trying to do is to turn some of those sheep into sheep dogs, Dr. Curley, so that when those wolves come, that's what my mother is. I called her an alpha female sheepdog. Someone and it goes after someone, one of hers, she attacks them physically with her fists closed, verbally, but she takes them on, and it totally undoes them because of her size now and her age. But she's always been like that. When we were children, my mother, you never messed with her children. She was that protective. And it's that. People have, I never felt threatened by anyone. I would laugh at the idea that some caseworker's gonna come and take us boys out of our house. Even though my father had a strap and he would use it if we did something wrong. Thank God he did use it. But it was my parents, they were public employees, these caseworkers. And then when I was in the district attorney's office, in that position, I saw these people, you know, as not very bright, very naive people that get hired by some agency and go out and do something. And people say that because they're with an agency that, oh, they're with the state. I said, no, people, they're just a public employee working for a corporate entity. And when you go into that courtroom and you say you're there by special appearance until informed by that you're proceeding in a court of constitutional due process, that corporate employee sitting behind the bench in a black robe will sit there with a blank look on their face, as federal Judge Michael Hogan did when I did that down in Eugene, Oregon. No, they are just magistrates, people. We, you and I, are the sovereign political authority in this country, not these public employees. But you have to assert it. You cannot act like children, spoiled children, out running around playing, and when you get caught up, then cry and whine and think that everyone's going to come to your aid. No, you have to have that support base. And that's what I've been building for the last 20 years, going all around the state, taking on anyone where other people have been injured, because the people that I've known for years, oh no, Roger, they don't want to have anything to do with it. they think they can run away from it and that you can hide from that. And you cannot, people. You cannot hide from that. That you have to confront evil where in the courtroom, where you have an absolute right to speak. And that's what people don't get.
I totally agree with you, but the key is, that's why your information is so important, that you have to do it in the right way. Because I did everything that you're saying. I stood up to these people. I did all kinds of things. They would have court officers surrounding me when I would be at the podium, intimidating me with their guns, with their hands on their holsters, like they're ready to shoot me if I say the wrong thing. All these kinds of things that they do. If only I had known about those words, special appearance, I didn't. And that's why it's so important for people to receive this information, so they know how to handle it when it happens, and also to tell others about what's going on, to have them listen to these shows, because I totally agree with you. If we don't stop this now, this country is not going to be worth living in, and that's what I always say, because they've tried to kill me a few times. I don't care if they kill me. Let them shoot me between the eyes, because if we cannot change this, where your profession is stealing children, I mean, how evil is that? And where my profession is killing people, if we're not going to be able to change this, who wants to be around in this country? What are we here for?
Well, this is what I tell people, that don't get involved in this. I said, you should be so ashamed of yourself. I say, be sure, and when you make your funeral arrangements, be sure and to include spittoons so your posterity can show you the respect you've justly earned. I said, no generation has it been easy. There's always been this conflict, and it has been the nature of maritime commercial worlds. They've basically been slave cultures, and at times people have we have been able to break away from that as an ideal 225 years ago, but we're back now much worse than what it was 225 years ago. But then you had, there were men that would stand up, the men that signed the Declaration of Independence, 56 of them, they signed that, and as Ben Franklin said, he said, we better hang together, gentlemen, or we will all hang separately. And it's that. It's these coming together for mutual protection, Dr. Curley. That's what I've seen. Everyone has been so isolated. They're all out there doing their own little thing, having their own little routine, and they don't want to be bothered by anything other than what they want to do. And I see this as a culture. And there is, I see so few, group interactions where you have groups that really enjoy each other's. I was raised in that kind of a culture. I was in the fire department, in the military culture. I was always around people that whose company I enjoyed. And
well,
you feel a part.
This is being done on purpose. I mean, first of all, they're fluoridating the water, and this is a mind control drug. I just had an article in my local paper here yesterday. More than half the people in this country are on drugs, many of them psych drugs. There's many reasons why things have gotten to the place it has, not to mention the fact that because of the economy and everything, even if there are two parents, they're working so many jobs they can't even take care of their children, much less have time to be out in the community to any great degree. And, of course, the churches are one of the big problems. There's so many scam churches out there that basically are actually preaching to the people that, you know, you have to obey the government. Everything has become so twisted. But that is why it's time for us to take our country back, and we don't need a revolution to do it. All we need to do is to have enough people do what you're talking about in the courts,
yeah.
Because the courts is where it all starts. The courts have
yeah.
to be cleaned up, because the courts are protecting the killer doctors. The courts are protecting the pedophiles out there. The courts are protecting all these people, and
yeah.
that's why the courts have to be cleaned up first.
And but it's this, Dr. Curley, is that you do not, when you just sever the judge, the attorneys from your process of making your record, there is no attorneys or judges involved in it. You file a complaint with the clerk of the court, not with the judge. You then move for summary judgment, and you put that in the file with the clerk of the court, not the judge. Then you set that matter down you notice them for summary judgment, and you to the other side, and then when you go into the court, you say that you're there by special appearance. And
right.
then
How
just
do you
make
your court date? Does the clerk of the court give you a court date?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So there's a calendaring clerk. I just made one today for June 20th. And so yes, do that. And then, but the key is in the complaint. Those two federal complaints that I mentioned to you, Title 42, 1983, and
mm-hmm.
I think the other one I said is Title 13, the conspiracy against the rights of the citizen. Just you can go down to your local library, look in the look up those two in the U.S. code annotated. There's all libraries have those volumes, and look and read those acts, and then draft a complaint. And in Multnomah County Library, there's a whole section of the library that deals just with federal 1983 cases. So it takes some time. You can't just flip it on like a comic book. People want everything instant. You know, they want an instant kind of
without
answer.
Without doing any work.
Yes. And I said, no, you can't do that. You can get a group together and you can a mastermind and have other people assign. But it takes a collective group. You cannot do this this by yourself. I've been here with all the support I get. I'm finally now, the judges are sitting still while I speak in the courtroom. They're still not granting the relief that should be granted, but they're being forced to sit there and listen while this record is made. Now, if the Oregonian was sitting in there taking all this down, and I said, there would be people marching on the courthouse if I could get it into their heads what is actually going on down there. But to
right.
get it
the Oregonian into... is mainstream media, and they're not going to report this. They're going to do everything they can to cover it up. That's why
yes.
it has to be a grassroots movement, just like I'm
yes.
trying to do to stop the Holocaust of inoculations. People have to understand that this can be done, because once enough of these courts are handled in such a fashion, they're going to have to start giving relief, because there's going to be so many people there watching them.
Now, if you just listen, again, you file the complaint, you don't need an attorney. You file the motion for summary judgment, you don't need an attorney. It is the completeness of the complaint and that motion for summary judgment that is important. And then, you'll need some counseling, but the individuals can do it. And then into the court and make.
You just said they're not even giving you the relief that should be given. And you've been doing this 20 years. So how do we get them to give the relief they're supposed to be getting?
It is a building process. I've been putting the heat on them all these years to kind of set the stage, Dr. Curley. That's what I've been doing from the contrast from when I started and the attacks, the violent attacks on me, throwing me in the insane asylum, doing all these things. And people, and they're running off in different. I said, no, people. All I'm trying to do is speak in these courtrooms, and this is why they're doing it to me. But now there is that awareness that is out there. I've got two. If people go to Google my name, Roger Widener, and then where hit the more button and hit video, I've got two videos there. So they need to listen to those videos, but they have to start.
Please spell your last name. Please spell your last name.
Weidner.
And Roger is Roger. There's no D?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And also, on yesterday's show, you gave out your number. Are you willing to do that again?
Of course.
Okay.
503-232-6691.
Okay. And as I said, I'm going to call you off the air because I have some good ideas how we can get this a little bit more organized, and because we only have 3 minutes left, not even 3 minutes.
Okay.
But I just want to, highlight to people, it's so important that you tell others this show and that you have them listen to the archives, because I will say I have been through this. I just want to mention one thing that happened to me. My husband became violent when I decided to do what I do now instead of be a surgeon, because, of course, I make a lot less money. And he assaulted me once, and I called the police, and they came to my house, asked me what I did to upset my husband. I was doing public access TV then, exposing corruption in the courts, and what they ended up doing was smashing my face on the hood of my car, breaking my tooth, dislocating my shoulder. I was screaming in my driveway. One of my neighbors, nobody came out of their house, but somebody did call the police, and I'm standing there, listening to the police officers walkie-talkie, reporting an assault in progress at my house, and here it is, the police that were doing it. So this is only going to get worse, folks, and you can't be afraid.
No, it's changing here in Oregon. I've seen a noticeable change. I was violently arrested when I went down to the sheriff's office in Deschutes County to tell them I was being threatened in the courthouse, and when I walked into the captain, Edwards said, "You get out of here, Widener!" I said, "Edwards, I'm a you get out of here!" And he had two guards, one grabbed me on each arm, forcibly removed me from the sheriff's office, Deschutes County Sheriff's Office, to keep me from talking to him like I'm talking to you about the corruption of these bureaucrats and attorneys, some judges stealing Patricia Wishon's property over there in Deschutes County. This is the evil that is going on in the system, people. And I said, you cannot tolerate that. I said, it is so shameful for a generation. What our posterity will say about us, I tell people, I have lived in the golden age of civilization, how my parents lived, coming from this modest circumstances, and how I've lived, get on planes, do all these things. But I said, there's so few that will lift a finger to pass it on to their posterity. And that's what the moral duty is.
Yes, and that's why we have to change things.
Yes.
About 10 years ago, I was in Woodstock, New York, and I saw a young person. I took a picture of him. He had a T-shirt on, and it said, "This is the world in which we live, and we will grow to hate you." And I have that picture hanging on my wall, and that's where we're going, because the young people see what's going on. They know what's going on. They're seeing the adults cower with fear and do nothing. So we're out of time, Roger, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show
again.
Thank you. Be sure, folks, to also listen to the archive on republicbroadcasting.org from yesterday. And we've got to wake up, people. We've got to do something about this, because if we don't change things, we are going to be living in a state I can't even imagine the evil. And we can change it. We are the only ones that can.
Yeah.
So God bless you, Roger. Thank you so much everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, and then you'll call?
Yes, I will. Good night.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye now. Bye.